Welcome to the coffee break, everybody. I hope you've got your cup of joe. I've got my cup of joe.
Sorry, I'm starting already. What is this picture I saw you, that's your wife and Jeff Preston, and it's like it got stripped.
Did you catch it? Did you see Jeff yesterday?
Yeah, I saw it.
Excellent.
I saw the picture, that's what I was looking at. And it's like got stripped. I explain to that each week.
I'm gonna have to go look at the recording again because I only saw the live recording. I didn't catch
yeah.
Mr. Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back, Category 5.
Yay! Yeah.
So woo! Last night, of course, we broadcasted at the live time. Well, sort of. I was about a half hour late, but I got there. Well, I got there.
It looked like you pre-recorded most of it, Robbie. Is that the case?
Well, I had to bring it all together because the studio isn't built right. Like so you
stitched it all together really well. I was impressed. Oh, thanks, you did man. A nice job. Yeah.
Thanks,
and dude. I love the two Robbies at the beginning. I thought, that's cool.
I told you gave me an idea yesterday on the coffee break. I'm like, you gave
so
me an
glad
idea.
You did that. Nice. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Next week, do three of them. Do me, myself,
yeah, let's
and I.
See. Every week, I'm just going to add one more Robbie
one
and
more.
See how complex I can get it.
I want to see you keep track of the dialogue. That's going to be the fun part.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, it was already complicated enough with just two of me.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
That was
hello,
fun.
Sobu. Oh, he can't hear me because he took his headset off.
Oh, dear.
Hello, Sobu.
Yes, I should introduce everybody for those of you who are joining us for the first time. We got BP9 up at the top left. We've got Peter at the top right. And then there's me, Solbu in the middle, and Agamotto on the right, and then at the bottom, Ron Morissette. Hey, guys.
Hello.
It's the same motley crew, isn't it?
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah.
That Robbie keeps showing up.
I know.
I'm surprised.
You can't miss him, though. You can't miss him, though, you know.
The name of the beard didn't turn up. The name of the beard didn't turn up. You're a dollar.
I'm surprised some folks have been saying that they still don't know about the coffee break, and here we are every single day for 33 days. What's that, Agamotto?
If I can figure it out, come on.
Yeah.
And here I am. So it's the day after our first broadcast in Studio E. So. What I'm experiencing is the overwhelmingness of the amount of work that I'm going to have the next little while. Because you guys know, like, when the show's on the air, I'm already super busy because I work full-time and then I produce the show. But I also write the news stories and do all the coordination and everything. So today, Thursdays, usually what I do is on my lunch break, which is now. Typically, my schedule is this would be the time that I edit out the newsroom, edit out the interview, and create the individual snippets for LinuxTechShow.com. Of course, I'm not doing that today.
You're picking your routine.
Because I'm on a coffee break. And then Friday, I take the newsroom and I break it up into the individual stories and upload the news stories. I'm going to hit this snowball of... I'm going to be overwhelmed with the amount of editing work that I'm going to be doing all at once.
I think good.
If I keep up the coffee break.
It's just a matter of getting back into the same routine you're in before, but that routine did not include coffee break, right?
That's right, yeah. So the coffee break has been, I think that's where, you know, some comments have been coming in that, you know, viewers have wished that we were on the air during the, you know, the end of March so that they could have, you know, felt a little closer to the show. But I think that's what the coffee break has brought is we've tried to, you know, I've made an effort to try to still stay connected to the community and give you guys.
I mean, yeah, there is a
I think, yeah, I think, me, I'm sorry, I tend to I think, I think, for a, news around a comment I sent you one by email, Robbie.
I'm sorry, I couldn't make you out, Peter.
I was rumbling again. I said I sent you a news round, a news bulletin thing for you.
All right, thanks. Yeah, all news stories are subject to the criteria that we've established on Category 5. So if you don't see your submission on the air, then that just means that it wasn't approved, or that there were other stories that needed to be covered. Yeah. So, but thank you. I appreciate that. And as you see news stories that are of interest that you think that you'd like to have the team cover, just send them in. And if they do or don't get on the air, like BP9 is known to sometimes send us stories. You know, BP9, that sometimes they get on, sometimes they don't. So it is it's subject to the limitations of the half-hour segment, and we do have very strict criteria about the types of stories. Also, another thing that another part of the criteria is that we do story vetting as well. So I think there was one time when a story got through that was a little on the fence whether it was true or not, and and so we've established, if I can't find three sources that are independent of one another, then we will not air that story.
Then the local paper, Robbie.
But even when it's from the local paper, it's going to be on like a Google search. I mean, these days, where are the local papers getting most of their news too, right?
Yeah. Remember, a lot of them. I remember a Wikipedia article. Each article have a talk page where you can discuss the article and propose changes. And I remember one of them someone was asking why I think four sources were removed. Because of the the argument was that the all four sources had the same
verbiage.
Yeah, they had the same original source. So
yeah, well, this is the thing, and I know because I'm in media. We're on PR lists, so we get a lot of email, and those emails are sent out. And what you'll find is you'll say, okay, well, is this credible? Is this true? And do a search and you'll see, oh yeah, there are 10 other people saying this, but then you realize that it's the exact same verbatim verbiage.
Yeah, it's just rumors. It's just rumors being spread.
Yeah, it all
right?
came from the same source. So yeah.
You mean Facebook.
Mm-hmm. And so there's still only one source, even though we've found 10 other copies of that same thing.
Right.
What is going on?
That sounds like somebody's sandpapering.
I think it's like a scratch and sniff. Oh, or maybe lottery tickets.
If you win
the $1 million, win the $1 million, then I want you to share it with us.
I hear you.
That sounds like a lottery ticket.
I'm not hearing a thing. Maybe I'm just deaf in my old... I must be deaf in my old age. I don't know.
they have found that people over a certain age, they stop hearing things that the youth can still hear. So,
like their wives.
Well, of course. Yeah, exactly.
Nagging them. Pick up your socks, Robbie. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm at that age, hon, where I just didn't hear you.
That's selective hearing.
At a stage where you hang your underwear up.
Agamotto, you dropped off at hang your underwear.
Underwear, yeah, exactly.
At least you're not at the stage where you're hanging your underwear on the door.
On the door. We're all looking at the door behind you just to make sure.
Yeah, exactly. No, he's safe. Check mine as well.
Hey, I'm at work, so you guys just don't know.
Well, so just for a test, I'm going to mute myself and see if you still hear the scratch.
Oh, it's gone. It's stopped.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's not me then.
No, I was just joking. I was just playing with you.
You're messing with me, Robbie. You would never do that. You would never mess with me.
Never. Not in a public forum.
Not unless you're alone or with someone, right?
So today I got my tax return. It is
Nice. Annual, donate.category5.tv is where you.
I already used.
But he didn't say refund.
When I hear tax return.
At least some of
refund is on
all,
its way.
It's
right.
Already used on the new server. So.
Oh, yes.
More items I need, but yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah.
Awesome. I do things. I've got a running piece of code at the moment of the game. I've got a running piece of code. It does work. Lots of things are automated, like setups and things, settings and things, but it's a running piece of code, and you can play it at the moment.
Good. Is this the one? Is this the same game you were working on previously?
Yeah.
Good. So were you able to work out the audio issue?
No, not yet.
But the game is running, so that's good.
I mean, it's still going back to find which library where and then work out what library is active for that thing and if it is active and I have to access it as well. Got a problem with the printer, but I left that out because last time in Windows version I had that printer in it, but this time I think I'll leave it out because it's going to be too difficult to figure out again at the moment. Because it's to do with bitmaps and things like that. Could you actually dump the picture of the bitmap and then print the bitmap out? Which is all weird way of doing things, but it does work.
Good. Glad to hear.
So you're already doing stuff, Peter, that has gone past what a lot of the stuff I do is. I don't do sound, and I don't believe I've done any printing from any of my applications either. So you're already treading ground that I've never been.
Yeah, but I did it in Windows, so it was a bit easier, but it's not finding support at the moment. So when I get the support, I will get there to work on next as well, but at the moment, So if anybody wants to just put the code somewhere and I'll send you the instructions and they can run it on their Linux box and try it out, you know.
Yeah.
See if you can beat it in mode zero. I don't think you will. It's too difficult. Mode A, I mean, sorry.
Yeah. This reminds me of a talk that I think it's 15 years ago, Linus Torvalds was having a talk at the American History Society, half an hour talk, and then an hour and a half of questions. And he mentioned how he started doing coding. The most
this, for those who aren't familiar with him, Linus Torvalds is the creator of Linux, the kernel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
just to put
and
that
he,
out
And he... They got used to very early on because his father or he, I'm not not sure you, who but the computer he got was it was not a very popular computer outside of Finland, so he couldn't get any software. So everything he had to do himself. And he said that he made a few games that he played once, never again.
Yeah.
But it's the learning as you do it. Like if you do it, it's just to have that end game result that it gives you a target to achieve.
Yeah, and he was already doing this for 10 years almost something every year. And when he started going to the university and discovered Unix and he wanted it at home, but he couldn't afford it, then he was already doing everything himself, so how could it be, right?
So that's one of the big arguments about open source when you talk to businesses and corporations who you might be trying to convince to use open source solutions. It's a question of where does the support come from and how does the publisher of the open source make any money on it? Yeah. And I guess they do that through support, right? Through providing
typically,
support.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
there's
what
a canonical
Red Hat
model.
Did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Red Hat, exactly. But Linus, I've often wondered, how does he, because he's not a support guy.
Right.
He's paid by the Linux.
The foundation have him on as like a, okay, that's cool. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting point for sure.
when he decided to move to Finland was because he was asked, he got a job offer at someone named Transmeta. They made chips, and he got them to agree in the job the contract that he was free to do Linux on his spare time, and if necessary, as
it has been done.
Bo is listening to the radio at the same time. Hey, Bo. Bo just came in with his microphone ablazing.
Yeah, and he got a clause in his contract that said that he was free to do Linux in his spare time, and if necessary, also as part of his job.
That's good.
He still retained all rights to any code he made regarding Linux.
So. That's good that he had the foresight to do that, like to work that into the contract. Because, I mean, the immediate one that comes to mind is Nginx and how they've just gone through that super stressful situation of having the developer's former employer claim rights to the ownership of the Nginx code, which is open source.
Oh, because they think they own everything he created?
Yeah, exactly. Because at the time that he created Nginx, he was working for them. So, as a general rule,
as an employee or a contractor, it doesn't matter. Any code that I write that belongs to the company I'm working for, or that is for the company I'm working for, that code belongs to the company. It's not my code.
If it's for the company, yes.
Oh, I could understand that if it was on their work clock. But if you're doing it at home in your bedroom.
This is what's not clear with that particular thing.
One of the issues is that this is under Russian law, so it works a little different there, and that is part of the problem, is that they have a different law regarding that, and they didn't have it in the contract. They may have a verbal agreement, but as long as no one's signing anything, it's I said, you said.
Yeah, exactly.
One way to help resolve that is if you have a PC or a laptop that's issued to you by your work, you know, company that you work for, don't put anything personal on it. Don't do any personal projects on it. Do just work on that machine. Leave personal stuff out of it. Don't do anything. I've heard of so many people who keep personal documents on their work laptop. You're crazy. You're nuts to do that.
And we're in an odd world, though, aren't we? Like right now, people are working from home. So guess what? They're either taking home a device from work to use at home, or they're using their home peripherals in order to do work. So it's like, where's the line? Solbu, thinking back to your comment about, you know, a verbal agreement doesn't really mean anything. Well, nowadays, see, in 2020, you can just push record on the Zoom meeting. So you got proof, because we're not allowed to meet face to face.
If you are the one hosting the meeting, because only the host can do that, I think.
Unless the host grants access to it. Yeah, so you got to initiate the call.
The only bad exit I had some software I tried to sell somebody, and basically took the software, sold it, tried to sell the software, and I had to. Through threat legal action at them, and a couple of days after they got the idea and they sent it back because I was going to write a letter and to get them to return it. It was something I did for blind people. I wasn't very happy with it. Walked away. Sorry, dog.
All we can hope is that Peter has not been coding his numbers game on a company laptop. Zoom is always an adventure, guys. Congress is an adventure. You never know what's going to happen.
I think I heard an ambulance go past. I think that's what his dog's barking at.
Oh, the dog is barking at that.
I read an article in one of the Norwegian papers today, or in one of the Norwegian papers anyway, that some government, I'm not sure where in the world, but there was maybe 25-30 people in a meeting, and almost everyone were government officials, and they were about to start a meeting, and one of the he was a minister of the government in some capacity. He was talking down some woman who was part of the meeting, and he didn't know, and he forgot to turn off his microphone.
Oh dear. Yeah. So, well, and the host can mute folks as well with coffee break. I mean, unless it gets bad, I'd prefer not to. Like government will do that. Like government will have it set up so that everyone is muted unless they're allowed to talk.
Oh, yeah. Give a voice.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I did the same as what you do, Solbu, a sound technician for a presentation that somebody had up on the stage. And what I did not know is that he turned off his radio mic. And so I was trying to get sound through the soundboard. And I was terrified. Oh, I was terrified of winding up that pot, because I knew that if I wound it up too high, it would start squealing through the feedback. Yeah. But, you know, I couldn't figure out any other way. He turned it off.
Yeah. Now, so, here's the opposite story that you will appreciate.
On, of course, you got that squeal, and I have to quickly bring that pot right back down.
Here's an opposite story for you that you'll appreciate, BP9.
Yeah.
When I was I played the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz, and during that performance, while I was on stage, one of the characters had gone backstage with his mic pack on.
Oh boy.
And had a pee.
Oh, I knew it. I said, he's gone to the restroom, hasn't he?
Yes, he had. She, and yeah. And the, like, we hear the story, but it actually happened to us. Yeah. So it's at the Opera House in Gravenhurst. There's 35 wireless lapel microphones, and the guy working the board is trying to figure out which one is it. Meanwhile, we're on the stage singing.
It's going to happen. My
gosh. I saw that news report.
Adult water music.
Well, it actually happened to me, Solbu. So
yeah. Well,
one thing that people can have as a good rule is something I learned in the 1980s series. Prime Minister, a British sitcom about how the British government work. It's a comedy. And in the last episode, where they are ending the series, one of the characters, one of the big characters, is going to do a radio interview at the BBC. And he has never done this before. And he fell for the biggest trap that you can fall into. And after the interview was over, and he said, yes, thank you. But the tape was still rolling and taping. And he blabbed out about what the government actually should do, but they were covered. No. Yeah. And then the Prime Minister got to know this without his knowing. And he schooled him and... but he told his secretary that you should always treat every microphone as if it is a live.
Oh yes, right. We know that in broadcast. And Bo, you guys watched the interviews last night, and I do that, Solbu, where I keep tapes rolling all the time, tapes, right? But so Bo, during the interview, when he introduced himself. Then he proceeded to show us that he's sitting in the warehouse at at his office. Mm-hmm. That was actually a clip from after the interview was completed. So I do that as well. So that clip made it into the interview because I thought it was appropriate to see, hey, this is a Maradroid.
Yeah.
But what we do, of course, like, you know, everything that we do is you know, we aim to be ethical. So there would never be a point of, you know, concern that somebody said something. And even when I was interviewing Amy, we came to a point where we were talking about Lego Masters, and I understand she's under embargo with some stuff. So I just made it clear, like, this right now, we're not, it's recording, but it won't be used. So that we could have that discussion. So there's, you know, the full disclosure. We're recording. Everything that you say is on tape until we say goodbye. So,
if someone wants a good example of how not to do to behave around the microphones, watch the last episode of the Yes Minister, Yes Prime Minister series, the very last episode.
Oh yeah,
it's quite fun.
They touched on that, did they?
Yeah, they did.
Speaking of British comedy shows. Michael Crawford from Phantom of the Opera. We talked about mm-hmm. him a few days ago.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The TV series, the British TV series that I was thinking of was Some Mothers Do Have 'Em. It is a British comedy series, and that's okay. where he came from. So that's why I was expressing so much mm-hmm. surprise that he was able to do such a serious role.
Yeah, yeah.
And from those roots.
Speaking of British series, does anyone here watch Vera?
No.
Yeah. Brenda is also, she just started doing a comedy, which really seems out of, like, when you're used to the Vera character, which is a very serious, it's a murder mystery. It's mm-hmm. like kind of along the tone of Shetland, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Has that kind of dark tone to it. But so taking her from that role as the investigator, the PI, into a role of a comedy, it's really kind of weird, but it's something fun. But
yeah, I had the same experience when
Google it.
the doctor from Star Trek Voyager appeared in
Robert Picardo.
Yeah, when he came as the base commander of Stargate Atlantis, he's one of the two last.
Yeah, I agree. It was a bit jarring to see that, but you know, yeah. you've got to remember they're actors. That's what it all boils down to.
Yeah, but he also plays the father of Alara on the Orville. Alara's dad is played by Robert Picardo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's it's an example of people who play a certain character, and he's doing that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
For a few episodes, it's weird to see them doing something else.
Yes, but Solbu, what you need to remember is that the EMH was only a hologram.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like a bud up. Well, guys, I'm going to keep this coffee break going as well as I possibly can. There may be times when you'll see me in Discord and say, hey, BP9, can you host it today?
I will if I can. Otherwise, it'll have to be Marshman or someone else.
It may come to that.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my best to have the show edited this week and ready to go.
Except that I can't start the meeting because I'm not.
Oh, no, I always start the okay. feed. Yeah, that's no problem.
Okay.
And that's why I keep the ID the same as well. So,
perfect.
They force me to change the ID every month. So that's why it changed once. So.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you guys want to hear some news?
Real quick, Bo, because we got to wrap it up. Yeah, Bo's got a final thought for us.
Okay. Hardkernel announced the Odroid C4 today. So I knew it was coming, but they gave us very scant details. And I asked Justin at Hardkernel to please give us a heads up so we can get our product pages ready. And
in the traditional Odroid style, you found out at the same time as everyone else.
At 10 o'clock last night, he sends me an email saying, well, I wasn't on at the time, but on my email. But he said, oh, by the way, sorry, I couldn't get you the information sooner, but it's open for sale now. And so now I'm busy trying to get all of the products and accessory pages up. And it's like 2 or 3 days worth of work. And I'm trying to cram it in here in the morning. But go ahead.
It would be nice to get just a little bit of warning, wouldn't it? Just a little bit of warning would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. You know, we didn't even get a notice that the C4 was coming out other than through our informants, in the community.
through our super Meridroid spies.
And I think so just Rosemary shuffling around in the background.
Yeah.
And I think that as the rest of us have a little more to think about than they normally have. So forgetting a few things can be understandable.
Yeah. So go to ameridroid.com because presumably Bo is going to have all the C4 information up there very, very soon.
Well, the product page is up there right now, but none of the accessory pages are yet.
Yeah.
No blog post or anything yet. So all that's good. Guess what I'm doing today?
Nice.
Well, good luck, man. Can't wait to see the product. So it looks really good from the early shots that I saw. What I understand is it's got eMMC, and it's meant to be like Marshman was saying, it's roughly equivalent to like a Raspberry Pi, but with eMMC and a slightly faster clock speed. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. It's actually significantly faster than the Raspberry Pi 4.
Okay.
It's got fantastic. DDR4 and over 2 gigahertz clock speed.
Do you have a price yet?
Like, about 55
comparatively?
Bucks.
55 bucks. Yep. Nice. Sweet.
4 gigs.
4 gigs for 55 bucks. Wow. Oh, man. That's.
And all USB 3 ports.
As soon as the Raspberry Pi community comes about and says, maybe we should see what other stuff is out there, they're going to be mind blown. It's such a huge community, but it's like, okay, if you've never tried an Odroid, like my XU4, that's my go-to because it's so much better than a Raspberry Pi. But a C4 sounds
you can
nuts.
still do GPIO and I2C and all that on those.
Yeah.
On the Odroids.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There you have it. I don't want to offend the Raspberry Pi community. I love their boards. But it's like there's so like 55 bucks for 4 gig and it's faster and it has eMMC support. That's a no-brainer for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, looking forward already to tomorrow's coffee break. I'll see you there. Have a great afternoon.
All right.
Thanks, Robbie. See you later. Bye.
Enjoy.